As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And it is Thanksgiving week. In fact, if you're listening to this, you've probably already had a little bit of turkey. Probably a little bit too much turkey.
Always.
At our house, it's lamb and those kind of things. Though the grocers decided they didn't need to call my wife and tell them that they couldn't get the lamb this year, even though they assured her that she would. So, you know, I always try to do business with people who do what they say they're going to do.
Of course.
It's a simple rule. I tell my kids this, Ken. You can tell your daughter. I spent a lot of money on coaching for this. Are you ready?
Right. Of course.
If you say please and thank you.
Yep.
You show up on time.
Yep.
You do what you say you're going to do. You beat 70% of the losers every day of the week.
I can imagine that.
So they only failed 2 out of 3. Right. And good Lord only knows how much money I give them in grocery money every month. And if I could control it, I would probably stop because, you know, here we are. It's Thanksgiving time and they don't have the lamb legs ready.
But no.
I will find them one way or the other. Anyhow, Thanksgiving is a very, very, very special time. And one of the things that we do with the Better Giver program that you hear us talk about is coming up with helping people design and develop their gifting strategies. And if you ever want to sit down and have one of those conversations, yes, the Financial Enhancement Group, we get paid to manage money. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. And yes, we're fiduciaries. I have to treat your money as if it were mine and we were in the same situation. But when people come in and sit down and they say, hey, Joe, here's my objective. You know, this is what I want to look at doing with retirement. Then it's my job to scale away all of the issues and figure out everything that you need to consider to come up with retirement. And I think almost everybody out there listening to this understands that. That's what you would expect me to do, right?
I would think, yes.
If I tell you that we're getting ready to do tax planning, I think most people miss the boat on that one. I think they think about tax reporting. How do the numbers drop into the 1040? No, tax planning is the proactive stuff that we have to do before the end of the year. But even bigger than that, the big one that just kills me is people who have a dedicated interest in being charitable both today, tomorrow, and at their demise. And there's not really a plan that is established to take care of it. So one of my most fun parts of life is helping people develop their gifting strategy. Barb and I take care of hungry homeless people and dogs, not cats. Nothing personal. There's great cats out there. It's just we know what our gifting strategy is, and it lets us focus what it is that we're trying to get accomplished. The more focused you can be, I think the better you can use your resources to get things that are done. Hey, we got a lot to talk about on the show. Have an outstanding Thanksgiving. Ken and I will take a break. We'll get right back into it. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and 5 critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. Hope you're having an outstanding week. Obviously, many, many things to talk about and things that were going on. And Ken, we got one of those questions I don't know. I get a lot of times, and I decided to walk it through. And one of my friends in the podcast world has said we need to have show notes. So I don't normally use notes when I put these together. As Ken knows, I come in and have a topic and then just kind of talk every now and then. As he says, I scribble on the board behind me, which is very fair as I look at it today. Only I know what it says, and that's only sometimes. But if you would like to have at least our outline of what it is we're talking about today, you can email us. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. So, Ken, the question is this, and we've talked about it before. Where do I invest my very next dollar? So we're talking about somebody who has assets, obviously, somebody who has the ability to direct some money towards saving, and they've got money coming in. And so let's say it's somebody in your office that comes up and says, Ken, I know you're this genius on this financial show, and what would you tell them? What is the formula or the checklist for being able to make that decision?
Well, what would I tell them? I'd tell them to call you. Call Big Joe Clark. He'll give you all the right answers before I screw it up.
That's cheating. But it's fair. And honestly, I want you guys to understand that. Very, very seriously, at the Financial Enhancement Group, we take care of people who don't want to worry about their money, so that they don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. My why, the reason I do it, coming from an educating family of educators, is I want to make sure that you're thinking about this right. If you want help, I'm more than happy to provide it. I just don't want you going off the rails. So the first thing, Ken, I would ask somebody is what options they had available to them. All right? So in your work, you have a 401k that you're just becoming eligible for. At the Financial Enhancement Group, we have a 401k. Not everybody has that luxury, right? Not everybody has that. Now, if you work in the not-for-profit area, you may or may not have a 403b. A 403b looks, smells, and acts like a 401k, just a little bit different. If you worked for a municipality, it could be a 457. Right? Mm-hmm. But those plans are only provided by an employer. So I can control where I go to work. I can say I'm only going to work here if they have benefits, health insurance, and a 401k. I can say that. But you can't just say that you're going to use a 401k. Now, there's big news that's out there that we're very, very excited about called multiple employer-sponsored plans, MEPs, that may actually come into fruition in 2019, where instead of Milestone, your company having to have its own 401k, I could bundle you and the Financial Enhancement Group together to keep administration lower, and you could have an expert that was running the plan as opposed to trying to outsource it.
Interesting.
We're not there yet. We'll see. But your first thing is, what do you have available? And so, you know, 401k, 403b, what we call a Department of Labor plan. Most of those plans can have what we call a match attached to them. So it's if you put in money, your employer will put in money.
Mm-hmm.
Different strokes, different folks. Some plans, like the Financial Enhancement Group, I put in automatically, whether they put in any money or not, because I want everybody participating. I think it's important. But most of the time, if you put in, they put in, and that's what's called a match. That has nothing to do with whether or not you can use an IRA. Now, I shouldn't say nothing, because if your income is a lot and you don't have access to a 401k, you can put money into an IRA. But most of us are disallowed, or many people are disallowed to put money in an IRA plan if their income went too high, if they had access to a 401k plan. And it's not that high. So you may or may not have a Roth option on either the 401k, the 403b, and it's your choice on an IRA. If you qualify to use the Roth, you can, right? So checklist number one, Ken, is what are your options? That's what you should tell them to start thinking about. Number two is then helping them understand that phase of finance that people forget so clearly and quickly. When we look at our statements, Ken and I are about the same age. I'm 4 years older than he is. But when we look at our statements, we look at it very, very similarly, because we're in that age bundle that is very similar. We're nowhere near retiring, yet at the same time, we've already been able to make money and save some money. We're adding to it, but we're still in what we would call a preservation phase. When Ken and I started and we were younger, when some of you are listening, especially your kids, you're starting out in what we call an accumulation phase. And that's when you're putting money in originally. And in that phase, you have two primary goals: saving the right percentage of your income, number one, and number two, building the right tax diversification. It may not sound like a lot right now, but that tax diversification will mean a lot when you're 70 years old and you're having to take required minimum distributions. And Ken, I know when you're 25, talking about 70 seems like forever. Yeah.
I'm getting ready
to turn 52. It doesn't sound so forever any longer. You know, we're now down to 18 years. So you go from accumulation then to preservation. And in the preservation stage, average return is what matters, but you have to be there beginning, middle, and end. And then lastly, you move into distribution. And that's where very few people are at. Distribution is when you actually have to go to take the money out. So one of my friends, Ed Slott, you know, we do a lot of work in the IRA world with Ed. And one of the things that Ed always reminds us is it doesn't matter what the score is on the scoreboard at halftime. Doesn't even matter what it is in the third quarter. It's that last minute field goal, right, Ken?
And
that changes the whole game. It's what does it say at the end of the game? And at the end of the game is distribution. Who cares that you had $2 million in an account or $500,000 in an account? What we care about is replacing your standard of living and being able to get it out. So your first thing was what options were available. Second, pay attention to what phase of finance you're in and how well you did. If you're in preservation, how well did you do in tax diversification and accumulation? Because that may very well dictate whether you want to use the Roth or not. Now, I always add the fiduciary focus. It's the third part of every checklist that we have. And there, as a fiduciary, remember, my job is to take care of your money as if it were my money and we were in the same situation. So hear me on this. When I wake up, here's how I think about your money. And here's how you need to think about your money if you're acting as your own fiduciary. What risk and volatility am I accepting? What fees and expenses am I paying? What taxes am I going to be subject to both today and tomorrow? And then last but not least, what is real return going to do to my future? In other words, inflation. So now that I've got those options laid out, in this case, if they've got a 401k with a match, you always want free money, Ken, just as a general rule, right? And don't ever argue. Take free money, right? So you put money into the 401k for certain up to the match. Now, should it be a Roth or should it be a traditional contribution on your part? Depends on many other things in your life that I can't go into on this radio. But it's why taxes both today and tomorrow are so important. They've got to be part of the equation. But you put money into the 401k. The amount that the employer has to put in has to be traditional. So it's going to be tax deferred. If they have a Roth option, you have the choice to making yours where you pay the taxes today, but it's tax-free forever going forward. You certainly do that up to whatever the match is. Then we want to look at the investment options. And if the options are really, really good inside of the 401k, or if you struggle saving money on your own, or if you've got an abundance of outside resources, you may want to continue to put money in. Because in the Roth, in the 401k, you can put up to $18,500 a year, Ken. This year, you can only put in $5,500 into an IRA because you're under 50. That next year, by the way, goes to $6,000. For me, it goes to $7,000 because we're over 50. So big differences between those plans. But just use checklist. If you like to read and you've not read the Checklist Manifesto, I would strongly encourage it. One of my top 10 business books of all time, Checklist Manifesto. So in order, figure out what options you have available, what phase of finance you're in, and pay attention to the fiduciary focus. That will give you the guideline to be able to make that financial decision. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. If you got a question or comment, shoot us an email. ConsiderThis@YourLifeAfterWork.com. We'll be right back.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble. I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958.
1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. Hey, many things in this world that I am thankful for. You know, I'm trying to explain to Ken, even though he's a little younger than I am, that parts do break down. So if I sound a little less than energetic today, I am just so thankful to have doctors in my life. My gallbladder finally decided to need to reside in a different body, in a different location. I don't think they reused it.
Gave out.
So that's probably a bad plan. So if I sound like I have a little less energy today, it's because of that. I apologize, but I am still doing my best to give you my all. But I am quite thankful to have doctors in the system that we have that was able to get me in and get me fixed. Another place that I'm thankful for, there are places for you to be able to go to ask financial questions. You can always do that here at our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. You can ask questions, get signed up for the Market Carver. Another place is Investopedia. And so, Ken, somebody sent in a question. So you can go ahead and send in the headline question.
All right. How do I donate stock gains to my IRS-approved nonprofit charity, and what tax reduction advantage does that offer?
So there's a lot of things in there. They're going to donate stock. It is a not-for-profit. When you hear that word, what they mean is it truly is a 501c3, and I have to say this. You know, I developed a program this year called The Better Giver, where we teach charities how to help their people be more efficient givers, not necessarily bigger givers, but more efficient. And you do have to be aware there are places that say they are 501c3 that are not. In Indiana, you do not have to be a 501c3 if you're a church. You've got an exemption. But if you're a Warrior Fund or, you know, NFL for Babies or whatever it is, you know, you do have to prove that that's a not-for-profit. And what tax reduction advantages does that offer? So go ahead and give me some more detail and let's walk through this.
Okay. So if I have gains of about $100,000 long-term profits on a stock, now I'm in the 28% tax bracket, what advantages do I have by donating? And what are the sequential steps to do this?
Great question. And we actually ran this through the planning team. I've got two teams. I've got a bunch of teams at the Financial Enhancement Group. But I believe that no one person can do this on their own. And there's going to be a point in time when I'm not here. And so it's not called Joe Clark Financial for a reason. It is called, you know, the Financial Enhancement Group, because it does take a team to be able to get this done. So let's just walk through the questions. What tax advantage do I get on gifting $100,000 worth of long-term profits? So what that means is they bought a stock outside of their IRA, Ken. Okay? They bought a stock, let's say they bought it for $10 a share. Mm-hmm. That's what we would call basis. They paid $10 of money that they'd already paid taxes on. And let's say it grew to $100, right? So now they have a $90 long-term capital gain. They can choose to give that stock directly to a 501c3 entity that is willing to accept it. I'll be back to that because that's important. They can gift that stock directly to a 501c3 entity, what's called in kind, meaning that they got the AT&T shares or the Apple shares, however it was. The entity accepts it. They sell it, the entity, not you. You can't order the sale, and you can't sell the stock in your account. They sell the stock in their account. They get the full value of it, what the full fair market value, whatever it sold for. And you also get an itemized deduction that year for the full fair market value of the gift. So
let me ask you a question, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So does the person who has given the gift get the tax write-off for the amount they've given, or does it go to when they actually sell the stock?
Full fair market value of the date of the transfer.
Gotcha.
Okay? Because sometimes entities, I've got some churches that hold stock. Most of them liquidate the minute that they mm-hmm. get it. But one of the reasons that I said, and when we do the Better Giver, we talk about enabling people to be able to make the gift, right? So we partner with Habitat for Humanity. So we just did the Anderson Symphony. Now we're getting ready to do the statewide Better Giver program for Habitat for Humanity. It's important that those entities have brokerage accounts to be able to accept the stock, or you can't make that type of transfer. That's where that enabling comes into play. And believe it or not, we've had some 501c3s that say, we don't want to have a stock account. Well, you don't have you have an account. It catches, it cashes, right? Catch cash. It's, they're not on the field getting hit. I don't get it, but that is out there, but you get that full fair market value. Now there's three different types of gifts that I want to hit real quickly. When I have my planning team, so we have the allocation team to make sure that my CFA, my chartered market technician, myself are all on the same page about what it is we own and why using our risk barometer. When it comes to planning, though, I've got five other planners that are on my team, and I want to make sure that we're all thinking and doing the same way. And we've got our little niches. Mine's charitable gifting. Dean's is Social Security, grants, 401k. We've all got our little thing, right? But we come together to be able to give that same answer. So when we talk about gifting, when we had the planning team today, we talked about qualified charitable distributions. That's money that's going to come out of an IRA. And it's going to, not a 401k. Notice I didn't say 401k. 401ks and IRAs are different, Ken. They're different beasts. So a QCD's got to come from an IRA. It's going to go directly to a 501c3 entity. It's got to go to the general fund. It does not touch your hands. You do not collect $200 in Pasco or whatever. However Monopoly worked. I forget that's old saying. But it's got to be a direct transfer. Go to the general fund. You have to be over 70 and a half, hence the word RMD. It's got to come from an IRA. And you can get no material benefit for it. That's the only rules in QCDs. It can satisfy your RMD, and you can actually do all the way up to $100,000 per year. So if you and your bride were both above 70, both wanted to do that, you could each give a $100,000 QCD if you happen to have it. The second is the gift of an appreciated asset, like we just went through for a charity. If you're going to give an appreciated asset to a charity, you're going to transfer the stock in kind as a general rule, Ken. Let's say you've bought Apple like I have at multiple different prices, mm-hmm. right? So some I've bought that have very little gain in them now, and some I've bought that have a huge gain even with a recent pullback, okay? If I'm going to gift something to charity, I want to gift the lowest basis asset. I want to gift the ones I bought back in 2006, right? Because I'm not going to pay the taxes on that, and I get full fair market value of the gift. If I'm going to sell Apple, either because I'm going to give it to my kids so that they can sell it because they need money, or I'm going to sell it because I need money for something in distribution, I want to sell the one that has the highest basis so that I recognize the least amount of tax. In that situation, when I'm gifting to a charity, there is no gift tax, there is no annual exclusion or any of that stuff at all. And where it becomes confusing is when I give to a family or a friend. Now, Ken, don't expect this, but let's say I woke up and decided that I was going to give you $15,000 this year.
Oh, great.
Right? Don't expect this, right? I can give you $15,000. It's not taxable to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taxable to me, provided it is a gift of present interest. And what that means is that you have the right to do anything with that money that you want to do. You can go to Vegas. You can pay off student debt. You can pay off mortgage. You can use it for a wedding, a down payment. I just can't tell you where you have to spend it. Now, I will tell you in real life, most of the time, this is a winky wink gift, right? I give you a wink and say, Ken, you can do whatever you want to, but if you ever want any more, I recommend I see credit cards with zero balances, right?
Of course.
I mean, you can have that kind of conversation with them. But gifting, it really depends on what the asset is that you're gifting and who the recipient is in terms of the considerations that you need to have. And that's really why these checklists come into play. If you want to know more about the Better Giver, by the way, if you're charitably inclined, Simply go to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Send us a message. We can let you know when the next Better Giver program is that's coming up, get you the workbook, and help give you some insight into how to be the most efficient charitable gifter that you can be. If you want to talk about your legacy plan, and I think that's an important thing on how you gift to the family today and tomorrow, that's another conversation we can have. Give us a call, 800-928-4001. Ken and I will take a break. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are happy to have you all along. And I seriously mean that. I know there's a lot of different things that you could be doing with your weekend. And I'm going to exhaust 9 minutes of that time by poking and prodding the bear and talking to...
That sounds fun, Joe.
Talking to... Yeah, that's what I always call it when people know that they're going to just raise my blood pressure. And when I get questions over gold, I used to be on Fox Business every Saturday morning. I would go down to Indianapolis and have this hookup and would be on Fox Business out of New York. And every week somebody would call in and say about gold. And the girls would just go, oh, Joe, we know what you're going to say about gold. And so, Ken, what am I going to say about gold? If somebody asked me if gold should be in their portfolio, what am I going to answer?
Well, by the tone of your voice, Joe, I'm going to say don't do it. And there's other, I guess, options for you to get into.
Yeah, that is a very fair statement. I don't believe anything always belongs in a portfolio. I think you should probably always have some public equity. I think you should probably always have some public debt. But other than that, I think it depends on the economy and where we are at the time, right? So let's walk through some of these gold lover people that are out there. You know, I've been in this industry for 31 years, and so I've had some families that I've taken care of for about that long. People that were much younger than me then and older than me now. And they'll say things like, Joe, why don't you advertise your returns on the radio like the gold people do? And I want to pull my hair out. I don't have enough left to pull. I kind of keep it short. Here's the deal. The gold people are not regulated. Right? When you hear the gold commercials on the radio or when you hear them on TV, rarely are they the people that are in the gold industry. Those are marketing companies that are putting out ads to get leads so they can sell them to people who sell gold, right? So here's a newsflash. If you said, Joe, today, what are the three biggest things that concern you in the United States economy? I would say, not necessarily in these order, by the way, but these three, I would say the conversation over the tariff talks and the uncertainty of how they're going to end, the Federal Reserve and raising interest rates and not the uncertainty of how that's going to end, and the third would be the strength of the United States dollar, not the weakness. The U.S. dollar is not weak. It is very, very, very strong. As of the time of this recording, it's about $1.15 per euro. And I've paid over $1.50 to buy a euro, to buy the same thing. Currency values fluctuate. And Ken, I don't know if you've heard me since you've been on the show or not, but I tell people the number one thing that I think wealthy Americans understand the least about their money is currency exchange rates. I think people can understand futures contracts better than they can understand currency. It's just a very difficult thing to wrap your head around. But the concept is that gold serves as an inflation hedge. So that when inflation goes high, gold goes up. Now, you're going to have to go back in the Wayback Machine. But do you remember when we experienced, and yes, you did too with me, when did we experience the most inflation in our lives ever?
Good question, Joe. I don't remember that.
Late 1970s. Peak of inflation was actually 1980. The average 30-year mortgage in the United States was 18%. 18%. Just think about that. 30-year fixed, 18%, right? But the peak of inflation was 1970. A couple key things happened. One, inflation got so bad that Social Security added the cost of living allowance in the mid-1970s. If they'd never added that allowance, yes, some people probably would have gone broke because inflation would have destroyed them, but Social Security would probably also be fine today. But the other thing that happened along with that is that gold happened to simultaneously go up. Now, people have this predisposition to believe that they want to own gold, right? So if I want to believe that cherry pie is good for me,
right? And I can find any point in time in my life where I had cherry pie and either ran more on the elliptical, had more energy, slept better, any of these things that we would also make attributes of good health. If I can try to come up with this correlation idea in my head, this bias to say one led to the other, that's what a correlation really means, then I can eat cherry pie all day long, right? People want to believe that they're supposed to own gold. And in the 1970s, you know, our parents certainly suffered it. We were just getting out of high school. You were still in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually I was still in high school at the end of 1970. But when we look at it, the people try to go back and justify why it is they want that shiny metal AU stuff, you know, in their portfolios. And the reality, if you think about the fiduciary focus, right, the four things you always want to go through, risk and volatility, does gold go up and down in value?
Of course.
Yes, it does. It's at a lower value as of November of 2018 than it was in the high of 2016. Fees and expenses, does it cost money to buy gold?
I would think so.
Absolutely. There's commissions that are attached to it. And if you buy the real commodity, you actually have to pay the holding expense, whether you're paying it because you're having your house insured because the burglar man's going to come get it, or whether you're paying it to store it somewhere else. Taxes. How do the taxes work on gold, Ken?
Good question, Joe.
See, this thing, the IRS calls gold a collectible. So when you buy a stock and the stock trades at a long-term capital gain, your maximum exposure is 20%. If your bracket's low enough, it could be 15 or zero if you're in the 12% marginal bracket or below. Gold is a collectible, trades like art. So you can have a much higher tax consequence inside of gold than you would in having the appreciation in a long-term capital gain. Now, your next obvious question ought to be, so Joe, have you ever owned gold?
Well, have you?
And the answer is yes. In the world of exchange-traded funds,
right.
We have indeed bought gold. There's two ticker symbols that we've used. GLD is gold. SLV is silver. We do not buy them and marry them. As I've said many times, my wife and I were just married for 30 years. It is okay for me to be married to my wife for 30 years. Not all of the years have been the best in the world. But she's the mother of my children and my lifelong partner, and I believe in the institution of marriage. It is not okay to keep a stock around because of what it did for you 20 years ago, right? It's an entirely different concept here, Ken. And so you have to really think about that. And so when we buy gold or silver, we tend to buy it inside of IRAs using those exchange-traded funds. And when the system shift, we get out. When it says that it's not the right time to be there, just like we would if it said it was not the right time to be in a particular stock or a particular bond, we would be able to go in and make a change. So please pay attention to how some of that's working. I told you gold was at about $1.21 an ounce today, and it's, you know, it's just hard to get that. But a big part of gold, a big part of the fear stuff that you hear on the radio and TV is that the dollar is going to zero. Again, we have a very strong dollar right now. And two is the concept of scarcity. They only make so much gold, right? They only make so much gold. You hear the same argument with Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, has really had a roller coaster if you've been involved with any of that over the course of the last 12 to 18 months. Very, very interesting topics indeed. I try not to invest in the scarcity mindset of anything. When we look, we're trying to find things that can actually put food on our tables. And I would say, just hear me on this. If you are really that concerned about the value of the United States financial system melding down, right? Just, you know, I don't know who you run around with. I don't know who your people are, but I will just tell you this. If I was really worried about it, I would buy little whiskey bottles and cigarettes, because I know people who would trade their last piece of bread for a little whiskey bottle. I don't know anybody that would take a sliver of gold. Not for their last piece of bread. Maybe for the first few days, but after they realize this was real, I think right. You've got a problem. You know, if that's what you're doing it for, then I would look at it going about it a different way. If it's an inflation hedge, please go back and check the math. My friends, it just doesn't work out. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five critical elements of finance: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, life happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, and legacy planning. Each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com.
Being a business owner or entrepreneur can feel lonely. Unless your friends have walked the same path, they just don't understand your passion. How many times have you been asked, when are you going to get a real job? And when you finally do make it big, all of a sudden the doubters tell you they always knew you would. Does this sound familiar? You see, at BizBod, we understand the road you're on because we're on the same path. That's why we created a club just for you. Meet other people on the same path you're on and get content that will help you grow your business, all for only $49.95 a year. And if you join today, you can get your first 30 days free with promo code RADIO. This is a limited time offer, so try it for free, and who knows, you might be able to help other members. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code RADIO.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-525-8891. 800-525-8891. That's 800-525-8891. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
I live alone and rarely have visitors, so when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
I am going to muster as much energy as I can to help because somebody asked the question, Ken, that it is not my favorite topic.
And what's that?
It's divorce.
Ooh, yikes.
And what to do with it. And whether I like it or not, whether anybody likes it or not, a divorce is surrounded by financial decisions, discussions, and things you got to consider. So this question came straight from Investopedia that was sent to me. So you can go ahead and the first sentence is the main question, and then you can get into the body.
Okay. Question is, what should I do with regards to my 401k, Roth IRA, tax filings, divorce considerations, and aspirations to purchase a home?
Here we go. All right. What's it tell us?
So, summary is, I am a 53-year-old woman.
Okay, pause. So, woman doesn't matter. 53-year-old does matter because we know money that's inside of a 401k, if she were to retire, she can actually get out at 55, not 59 and a half. If it's in a 401k, it's if it's in an IRA, it's 59 and a half. But she has no access to money that's in those programs unless it would be issued with a issued by the judge or a quadro from his 401k if he had it. Okay. Old woman with?
With old woman on a moderate income. I am still married, filing jointly, but planning to divorce by mid-2019.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a second. Here's one thing that I will tell you. People ask me who we take care of, and I always tell people we take care of essentially upper middle class America.
Mm-hmm.
And people will look at me and go, Joe, that's you have people that are clearly above upper middle class. And I said, yes, but I have clearly nobody who thinks they're above upper middle class, right? I mean, it's that attitude,
right,
of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We take care of people that are pretty well, you know, so when somebody says they have a moderate income, truthfully, in East Central Indiana, that could be 20 grand to about 250 grand a year. Just an odd thing. Just keep that in mind. Still married, filing jointly, but plan to divorce by mid-2019.
Okay. I have a small amount in my 401k through my full-time job, which I plan to increase my contributions to. I currently contribute 5% with an employee match of 3%. Would like to increase that to 10%. My concern is a small Roth IRA that opened last year or earlier this year. I don't have much in it, but I have heard that if I file separately for 2018, I cannot contribute to a Roth IRA at all. So if I filed jointly for 2018 and divorced in 2019, what should I do about my Roth IRA? Should I stop contributing to it and focus on my 401k? My AGI for 2018 is about $48,000 and will probably be the same for 2019. I plan to keep on working until the age of 70.
There, you know, this is why we have the one stop, where we work with so many great CPA firms and Ed Slott, and it would take me 30 seconds to pull out our checklist to see if you can contribute to a Roth. Filing separately does reduce the amount of income that you're allowed to have and still be eligible, but at $48,000, I'm not sure that that's not too much. The key thing here that you need to be aware of when you're looking at where you want to put money is paying attention to the size of those accounts. Right. So if you have money that you know you're going to be able to put into a Roth IRA every year, even if this year you're not eligible, you will be next year. And I'm not saying that you're not eligible this year. I'm not sure mm-hmm. that's not bad data. But I wouldn't close it out as long as you think you're going to be able to continue to contribute to it. I'm excited to hear that you're trying to get from 5% to 10% contribution. But if you go back and you listen to some of the conversations that we've had here on the radio, you want to make sure you're putting enough money into that 401k to get the full match. And once that's done, then you want to ascertain whether it's better to put money in a Roth IRA or whether it's better to put money inside of the 401k. Keep in mind, especially being single, right, with a Roth IRA contribution, Ken, you always have access to be able to get the money back if you need it. There's a big difference between a conversion and a contribution. Contribution is money that I'm putting in this year.
Mm-hmm.
If I put money in a 401k this year and I have an emergency next year, I don't have access to get back the contribution amount. In a Roth IRA, I do. All right? You have to deal with market volatility perhaps, but you do have access to that. So that's something else to keep in mind. All right, let's go to the next paragraph.
Okay. Regarding the divorce, it's amicable, and my husband and I are planning to use LegalZoom to divorce so we can save on divorce fees. He does not have any assets worth fighting over, and he has verbally agreed to leave my retirement funds and other assets alone. We sold our house a few years ago and have been renting a home. I am also interested in buying a condo or a small house next summer for me, my mom, and my two daughters to move into. My 82-year-old mom has excellent credit, some assets, and is willing to co-sign and help me come up with a down payment for the house. I have estimated that we can come up with about 5 to 10% down for a house, $500,000 and under. I live in L.A. with housing prices are high. I am not a first-time home buyer, nor is my mom. What should I do with regards to the 401k, the Roth IRA, tax filings, divorce considerations, and purchasing a home?
I'll let Ken do the last one. I'll come in and do the first one. On the 401k, you want to make sure you immediately change the beneficiary as soon as the divorce is over. You can indeed cohabit with your mom and do those kind of things. That is perfectly legal and legitimate. Again, change your beneficiary on your Roth IRA. Your tax filings, I would still file, especially if it truly is amicable, I would file jointly this year. You get a lot more bigger bang out of the buck than you would if you were filing separately, and that would probably answer some of your Roth questions. The divorce considerations, as long as there's no alimony, which ends at the end of 2018, as far as a deductible to the person who pays it, as long as there's not going to be any alimony, and waiting until mid-19 doesn't matter, but I would always question and wonder the why for on that. Just me. Mm-hmm. What about purchasing a home, Ken?
Well, there's a lot of different ideas in this on income and assets. So if they're going to buy, let's say, a $500,000 house, she has an income of $48,000 a year. Her mom has probably some Social Security, some pension or whatever, which you can use that. But always remember, if you have a co-signer, you always go off the lowest credit score of the two. And so, and in our world, a first-time home buyer is anyone who hasn't owned a house in the last 3 years.
That's for you. To be able to pull money out of a 401k or IRA to use it is what she was whipping out.
Right. But still, in our world, there's benefits for somebody who is a first-time home buyer.
Gotcha.
With
gotcha.
3% down, lower mortgage insurance.
The key
and so
thing
forth.
That he said that many people would overlook is it may be in best interest for it to be in totally in mom's name, and then for mom to use a ladybird deed or something else like that, depending on the state that she's in, so that mom's credit score was the one that showed up on the app.
Yeah, so if the mom has enough income and so forth, So she could be the borrower on the mortgage and also have the daughter on the title.
Yeah. As simple as things look, my friends, there can be a lot of confusion and complexity to these things. It's why I encourage a couple things. One is checklist. Know what you need to think about before you have to think about them. That's why we always use them. I do beneficiary designations every day, and we still use a checklist to derive the answer. It just makes sense. Thanks for tuning in, my friends. Have an outstanding Thanksgiving. We'll see you again next week.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.